What do lay people owe their pastors? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled, What Hearers Owe Their Pastors, Receive the Gift, and you can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Jim Pierce's journey from Pentecostalism, fundamentalism, and atheism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues, etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is not the first time that confessional Lutheran pastors serving in the Church of Finland have found themselves on the wrong end of their church hierarchy, even defrocked. That is kind of a technical term for a pastor, at least from the perspective of the church hierarchy, being having his ministry taken away, being decertified to serve as a pastor. It's not the first time, but in the last several days, there have been five pastors in the Church of Finland who have been defrocked by their church body. What makes these defrockings different than the ones that have come before, and why are they defrocking pastors in Finland? Joining us to answer this question and many others on this Friday afternoon, April the 10th, Dr. Al Culver. He's Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Al, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
We'll do a little history here in a minute, but what makes this latest round of defrockings this week different from the ones before?
Well, in this case, it's the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland. And as I understand it, it's been very difficult to actually be defrocked in that church body. You can teach almost anything and still not be defrocked. And in this case, the five pastors were defrocked not for their confession of faith, but because they officiated in another church body.
Now, what's the relationship here in the church body that led to the defrocking?
Well, these are all pastors who are part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland, but they are also part of the Mission Diocese. And the Mission Diocese is, I don't want to use this word, it's sort of like a confessional revival within the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland. So the Mission Diocese wants to hold to the Holy Scriptures and to the Lutheran confessions. In the sense of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland, what they're effectively saying is that the Mission Diocese is not part of that church body, but it's a separate church.
Does the Church of Finland have other ecumenical relationships with other churches that are less than Lutheran, less than confessionally Lutheran?
Oh, very much so. I mean, they are very close to the church in Sweden and other Scandinavian Lutheran churches, or churches that are Lutheran in name only. What's interesting about this case is they're not accusing the pastors of teaching false doctrine, because technically speaking, these pastors are following the confession that's in the paper of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland.
Let's put it in kind of layman's terms, Al. What do you think really is happened here?
Well, since the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland has ordained women and they are in the process of considering accepting homosexual ordination and same-sex blessings, these pastors are opposed to that. And so they found a way within their church law of removing them.
Is this a state church?
It is a closely affiliated with the state. Yes.
How would you characterize the theological conditions in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland right now? You said before that you can teach almost anything, practice almost anything. What's the state of Lutheranism there?
Well, one pastor from Finland described it to me in this way. I was talking with him, and I said, at least 7,000 have not bowed to Baal. And he said, are you kidding? He said it might be closer to 4,000 or 5,000. So in the assessment of some of these pastors, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland is not only not practicing Lutheranism, in some cases it's barely practicing Christianity.
Is this kind of the general shape of Lutheranism in the Scandinavian countries, Northern Europe?
Yeah, overall, the Scandinavian Lutheran churches have gone pretty much with the society. They have gone for justice and equal rights, and not that anyone's opposed that human beings are treated equally, but they extend that to the offices of the church, and they've taken on the position that homosexual blessings and homosexual ordination is okay. And in some cases, you even hear a pagan rite being reintroduced.
Really?
Yeah, in some cases, some of the pastors have revitalized or introduced some strange rites going back to their ancient history.
So what becomes of these five pastors who have been defrocked by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Finland?
Well, what this means is they will no longer be able to preach or teach in any Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland congregation. They won't be able to conduct baptisms. They won't be able to conduct the Lord's Supper. However, the churches that are part of the mission diocese will continue to recognize these pastors and utilize them.
Is this something, well, I guess it's kind of touchy. What is our relationship, in particular the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod's relationship to this situation, and in particular to the pastors who have been defrocked in the past or who have just been defrocked?
Well, officially, the Missouri Synod has no relationship to either the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland or to the Mission Diocese. At the same time, many of the pastors of the Mission Diocese are friends of ours. They are people who have come to our seminaries. They've studied at St. Louis. They've studied at Fort Wayne. We are in regular contact with them. They're friends of ours. And so our role has been to support and encourage them and to encourage them to remain faithful in their confession.
What can our listeners do who are concerned about these five men and the other men who have essentially suffered this kind of form of persecution from their church body by being defrocked? What can our listeners do?
Well, I think what we can do for them is we can pray for them. And that's the main thing I think we can do at this point. We can pray for them. We can let them know that we support them. And let me just explain for a minute why we don't have an official relation with the Mission Diocese. We are talking where we have conversations with the Mission Diocese. In fact, there are several Mission Dioceses throughout Scandinavia. There's one in Sweden. There's one in Finland. There's one in Norway. We talk to these, but by their own definition, they are not a separate church body. And so they have maintained to this point that they are officially still part of their church. And so it's almost like a church within a church or a movement within the church. And so we don't have any way of having an official relationship with them until they declare themselves to be a church.
Before we let you go, Al, we're really in the midst of an explosion of confessional Lutheran sentiment and doctrine and practice worldwide. Tell us about it.
Well, in Africa alone, between Ethiopia, Madagascar, and Tanzania, there's a little less than 20 million Lutherans. It's about 18.5 million Lutherans. And in Madagascar, there's an increasing awareness of confessional Lutheranism. In Ethiopia, which has not... they've suffered many things between the communist government and forced unionism and other persecutions. They are rediscovering the Lutheran confessions. In fact, tomorrow I'm leaving for Ethiopia for their pastors' conference, where there will be 3,500 pastors. And the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, Matthew Heise and Bob Ron will be there also, and they'll be presenting 7,500 books of Concord. Most of their pastors have never actually seen a Book of Concord before. And so each pastor will receive a Book of Concord, most of them for the first time. So there's this confessional revival in Africa, and part of what's driving that confessional revival is the unfaithfulness of their European partners. So many of these churches in Africa were begun by missionaries from Norway and Sweden and Finland. And as the state churches have moved towards liberalism as they have ordained women and as they have begun to ordain practicing homosexuals and endorsing same-sex marriages, these Africans are saying this is against the scripture. And so they are looking deeply into the scriptures, they're returning to the Lutheran confessions, and they're turning to church bodies like the Missouri Synod to say, can you help teach us? We want to become stronger Lutherans.
Folks, you can find out more about the great confessional Lutheran mission work around the world being done by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Just go to our website, issuezetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Dr. Al Culver is Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Al, thank you very much for your time and keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Chris Roseborough. He has actually assembled the little, well, not little, but rather large snippets of some evangelical sermons preached right around Easter by some famous and less than famous pop American Christianity pastors. We're going to listen to them and see what they do with the story of Jesus' resurrection in their Easter sermons. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough right after this. Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We're going to take a look at the ecclesiastical model employed by much of American evangelicalism today, especially as put forward by the seeker-driven movement.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference.
We're going to take a look at where this idea of a vision-casting leader comes from, what its main tenets are, and we're going to compare that so-called ecclesiastical office to the biblical office of pastor to see if the two are actually synonymous and interchangeable, or if this concept of a vision-casting leader actually turns a pastor into a false prophet.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against vision-casting leaders in the church June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.